The greatest threat to the church is not from the outside. As we read our New Testaments, we find that the apostles were more often than not defending the church from error, false doctrine, false teaching. They were, in fact, often defending the church from the religious. And at the heart of all of the error were defections and denunciations and practice that led the church away from the gospel. It is no less today. It has always been true from the very beginning, and it is true today. It's been my privilege, as well as a couple of other elders, to preach through the book of Galatians. And so as we close this series, I want you to hear the book. You may follow in your Bible if you'd like, but I would encourage you to be as a first generation listener, to simply hear the Word of God. Here the Apostle Paul holds up that there is no other gospel. Hear the very word of God. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be the servant of God. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached to me is not man's gospel. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and even tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. I went away into Arabia, and I returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, who is Peter, and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, but I was still unknown in person to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, now privately, before those who seemed influential, I set before them the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But then even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet, because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them, we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you, and might I say, and for you. From those who seemed to be influential. Now, what they really were makes real no difference to me, for God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted to the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised also worked through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and he separated himself, for he was afraid of the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth. We are not Gentile sinners. Yet, to Peter and the group, we know a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we who have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no one be justified. There is no other gospel. But if our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, then is Christ the servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as the crucified one. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? Do you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Let me ask you this. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law, or by the hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know then, that it is those of faith who are the sons, the genuine, the true sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, quote, in you shall all the nations be blessed, end quote. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, quote, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them, end quote. Now, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. This is so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Well, to give a human example, brothers, even a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it's been ratified. Promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, pointing to the plural, meaning to many, but to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ? This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make that promise void. For if the inheritance comes by law, no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. So, why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place by angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Well, then, is the law contrary to the promises of God? Well, certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were placed into Christ have put on Christ. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. You are heirs according to the promise. Now, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date is set by the father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive an adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, you are an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved by nature to those who are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you then turn back again to those worthless and weak elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to become once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I've labored over you in vain. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand therefore. Do not submit again to that yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, I say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is then obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who want to be justified by law, you have fallen away from the realm of grace, from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from the one who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view. And the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. For through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached to you the gospel at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but you received me as an angel, possibly a messenger of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? I testify to you, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? They make much of you, but not for good purpose. They want to shut you out that they may make much of them. It's always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could present you now. I could be present with you now. And I could change my tone. I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. The son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women were two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is from above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, quote, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband," end quote. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now. What does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. For I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against those of the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast shall be in himself alone, not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not deceive, for God is not mocked. Whoever one sows, that will he also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life eternal. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I have written with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they might not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world was crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, dear brothers. Amen. Let's stand together. Here, once again, is the gospel. The gospel which you have been taught, the gospel which you have received, the gospel in which the Apostle Paul and this preacher exhort you to stand. Let's read together. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, it is only by your grace that we stand. It is only by your grace that we have been saved. And it is only by your grace that you impel us and motivate us and enable us to stand for the gospel. There is no other gospel than the one that you have taught us in your word, that we have received by faith, and that we live in by faith, and by which we are assured in hope to arrive safely at our heavenly home. To you, for you, and from you be all the glory, and all God's people agreed. Amen.